The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
The following presentation is brought to you by the host of the program, who is solely responsible for its content.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
Happy New Year. I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Welcome to the Real Estate Roundtable on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm here with my husband, fellow realtor, co-host, Pat Devaney.
Good morning, Jackie. Happy New Year. How are you?
Happy New Year to you. It's day six on your resolutions. How you doing with them?
Wonderful.
All right.
I broke every one of them.
We have with us today Mark Kies, public information officer with the state police. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here with us. We're here every Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. discussing everything real estate. We have a full-time real estate office with many experienced realtors. We have been listing, selling, and appraising real estate for over 40 years.
During the week, feel free to email us with any questions you have at questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com, or you can give us a call at 570-344-6724. And when you're at jruddy.com, click on the Dunmore Corners Live webcam tab. Click on that and see what's going on at the corners. Check out the weather. We get hits from all over the world and thousands of hits a month on that camera.
And a lot of people that reside out of our area but grew up in this area like that webcam, they find it and they like to see what's going on in our little town of Dunmore, PA. View our listings, search the MLS listings, and listen to archive radio shows by going to mobilefriendlyjruddy.com. That's J-R-U-D-D-Y.com. Check us out on Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube, and Facebook. Okay, Mark Kies, public information officer with the state police. We have you here today because we have an interest in learning all about identity theft. We think we know about it, but we don't know it about it from your perspective. And we'd like you to shed some light on this very awful topic. And I think that this is what you primarily do at the state police. Is that correct?
I go out and I speak a lot about law enforcement and preventing crimes, and identity theft in particular is becoming a huge problem worldwide, not just locally or nationally, but worldwide. And a lot of people who have their identities stolen actually are being hacked from out of the country. So this is a worldwide problem. People are losing, millions of dollars across the country every year, and there's some simple steps that people could take to try to minimize that. Unfortunately, and identity theft is one of those things that can't be gotten rid of altogether. You can't protect yourself 100%, but you can do some things to try to minimize it and make it more difficult for people to get your information.
Okay, so our lives are online, and we do, social media, we have email accounts, and those types of things ask for some sensitive information, such as birth dates. We also put our credit card information in whenever we order something online, and it's just the way we've been doing things. And so what should we be doing to take those extra careful steps?
Yeah, well, one of the things you just mentioned is the issues with social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. A lot of these platforms request people to put all kinds of personal information in there, and they're not all mandatory, but a lot of people put their phone numbers in there, their address, date of birth, and people can hack into those. They're fairly easy to get into, and people can gather your information, if not directly through one of the social media platforms. They can use your phone number or address to go to other places to get things such as your social security number. So we always advise people to be aware of what they share. Maybe put your date of birth or your age in rather than your date of birth. There's no need for people to know your exact date of birth, unless you want to get your happy birthdays on your birthday. But, never put a social security number in anywhere. Don't put your address in there. We have a lot of issues even with stalkers who can obtain your location just based on your address from Facebook, Twitter, and so on. So minimize the amount of information that you put on social media. Create strong passwords and update them frequently on your home computer. You know, if you use your cell phone, any website you use, use good, strong passwords. Make them long, capital letters, small letters, numbers, maybe an apostrophe in there, and make it more difficult. A lot of people quite often will use like a pet's name in their date of birth, or your maiden name maybe in a date of birth. So you want something original. Keep changing it. Don't use the same password for every single website that you use, because if somebody can hack into one, they could check your other websites, which contain banking information, and get your information that way.
Well. Okay. And I understand exactly what you're saying to me.
Yes,
from a logical standpoint, but my memory is failing me. I don't remember what I ate for breakfast a couple hours ago, never mind a 10-digit passcode that I'm changing all the time.
And that's tough.
Right, and I go into the garage, I forget what I'm doing in there.
Yeah, just for work ourselves, I probably have 4 to 5 different passwords that I have to remember that we frequently change. It's almost monthly we change our passwords.
So what do you do? Do you have a place where you store these?
I do. I write them down and on a piece of paper, so I know where to go and find those.
Okay. Because there's some things that you could do online for password storage, but isn't that as vulnerable as a bank account?
You would probably need to change the password to get into that site frequently often.
God. Okay. Well,
no, because I got to say it. I have Norton security on my computer, and it says, do you want me to serve your passwords? We could do this, we could do that. I always say no,
right?
Because I'm like you, I forget the passwords.
I do the same. I mean, there are some password storage companies that keep it secure, but then you have to also keep that website secure itself. But that's one of the other things that we recommend. You know, speaking of antivirus, spam, you want to make sure your firewall is up to date. Keep all these up to date. Do all the updates when they come in. A lot of people will install them in the computers, but if they don't have automatic updates, they're not going in and updating those for all the new viruses. And those are ways people can get in to get information. You know, and it's a real hassle once your information is hacked and used. I've personally been a victim, my wife and I.
Have you?
A credit card was used out of state and somewhere, and we don't even know how or where they got our information. Luckily, we have it set up with our bank that if they see any transactions that are, you know, at a certain distance from our home, they know to contact us to see if it was an authorized transaction. In that case, it wasn't. It was used at a gas station to get gas, and we have no idea where or how they got our information.
Now, let me ask you something. What is the definition of identity theft? What is the definition?
Oh, you put me on the spot with that one. It's basically when someone gains your information.
My birthday, my address, all the things you were talking about before.
Correct. Social Security could be number. A variety of those.
Okay.
But they're using your information, whether it's your name, your Social Security, birth date, and they are using that to obtain something illegally. They are paying for something else.
Right. They're pretending
to be you. Yes.
They're stealing my identity. That was no good.
Yeah, and, you know, mobile devices also have a certain amount of vulnerability just as a home computer, and a lot of people don't use a lock on those. All smartphones have locks on them. If you lay it down and, you know, somebody, you know, happens to go into it and scan through it, or if you lose it, that is the big problem, and it's unlocked, you know, people can go in and go through all your information in there. Checking on credit reports is also something people could do to see if there are unauthorized transactions in there, and you know, finding out if your accounts have been compromised. You know, we recommend people do that every so often. If they find something that is not correct, they should report it to the credit card or the credit report company, so it doesn't hurt your credit. And you know, more regularly, it's best to look at your credit card and bank statements. You get those once a month. Go through them very well just to make sure that there's no unauthorized transactions in there. I had a habit when I was younger and single that I'd just get my account and I'd pay it. I wouldn't even look at the transactions on there. But now that this is becoming such a big problem that we actually go through each transaction on our credit and debit card accounts, any charge accounts. So it's very important to go through those just to make sure that, you know, your accounts haven't been compromised. Sometimes it takes, you know, several weeks or months, or even people go years without noticing, depending on the sizes of the withdrawals, that someone has hacked into their information and
years?
Started using your accounts. Yeah, we've had people, I mean, they were very small transactions. So, you know,
not
people
noticed.
With large bank accounts may not notice that. You know, in one particular case I'm thinking of, and a lot of people don't want to think that their family would do this, but family had gathered their information. And, you know, it doesn't have to be somebody from out of the country or out of the state. Family members will do this, too. You know, they gathered information and had enough to get into the bank account and withdraw money.
As scary as this topic is to me, it's also fascinating in a lot of ways, because my head's spinning right now. I have a million questions for you. So we're talking about how identity theft happens, and it's usually somebody from out of our country, but sometimes people very close to us. And I have been accused by someone very near and dear to me of being a type A personality, but I do scour through all my credit card bills every month, and I look at all my charges, and I'll call if I can't remember. I'll call that place to see, what did I charge? What is this? And I balance all of my accounts every month.
Who would ever say such a thing like
know.
That to you?
I'm
who
not,
would ever do something
yeah, somebody,
like that?
Somebody with, near and dear to me, that's all I'm going to say. But I, that's...
Yes, she does. She'll sit down and she'll sit there.
And I'll figure
and
out...
And she'll figure it out. She should have been a cop. You know, yeah. I think
that's
she should have been...
It's a great skill.
She should have been a trooper, because she'll sit there and she'll figure it out exactly. I get embarrassed sometimes because I get charges on some of my cards. And I'll go back. I'll say, what the heck is this? And then I make the phone call. And they say, oh, you were at... I was like, oh, yeah, I was up there. But also, I have... on one of my credit cards, I have an app that's linked directly to my phone. And every time I charge, my phone bings. And it comes up immediately. So if it's not an authorized charge, I know. And I try to use that credit card a lot. So...
Yeah, and that's great. One issue that a lot of people... don't realize, and you guys had just reminded me of this, is that there are a lot of companies that are online that sell products sold by other vendors. And if I could use Walmart or Amazon as examples, you will purchase through their website. But when you look at your credit card, you may see a charge to another company.
Mm-hmm.
And we do get some reports sometimes where people think that they had their identity stolen, and you know they will be certain, I did not make any charges to this company. And that's one of the questions we ask. Well, did you buy anything, you know, recently through another larger company, maybe that would just you know, sell it on their website and just distribute it for that company? And quite often we'll find that they did. So that's one thing that people have to look in as well when they do see an odd charge on their credit card. Just don't jump to the conclusion that your identity was stolen. There's an unauthorized use of your card, but check it out and just double check to see if you, again, did buy something through Amazon or Walmart, that it wasn't the other company that would have sold and shipped that item, because the charge usually goes to the other company, not necessarily to Walmart.
Right. That's good advice, because that certainly throws me off at times, but then I do realize just what you were talking about. So identity theft could be someone opening a credit card and under my name, or as complete as taking my whole identity over. Now, when I go online, there's this push to do all my renewals online. My real estate license is online. My driver's license is, or my registration is online. We're putting in sensitive information on those websites. So is it really expected that we never put in a social security, date of birth, sensitive information?
One thing that is an issue, they're called phishing scams, where a lot of companies will pretend to be a company that you might deal with, and send you an email saying that we need you to confirm or validate your information. Can you click on this link and fill out the information? Any credible company would never do that. They would have you go to their website. So you might get an email saying, go to your website, whether it's your bank website or you know, credit card website, and sign in, and then pull up a form or pull up an alert or something, read a message, and then confirm something. Generally, they will, they will never have an email sent out to confirm without logging into their website first. So that's something people need to be aware of. But such things as a real estate license, again, you're probably logging into their website to do it. Or if it's like insurance based on real estate, they might ask you to provide certain information, but they should be asking you to log into a website to do that. Now, there's an issue with security of their information that they store. And if you've seen in the news locally, nationally, there are companies that do get hacked, and that's a big issue. So the same thing as individuals, companies also have to make sure their firewalls are up, their passwords are all protected, that they have good anti-spam, antivirus software that they're using, because they're just as vulnerable as an individual to getting hacked and people gaining access. Usually they gain more access than an individual because they store a lot of people's information. So then that's when you see the companies putting out mass emails or letters saying that we've been hacked, your information may be compromised. If that does happen, whether you think it's locally that maybe your credit card was used, or a company contacts you and saying our servers were infiltrated and they may have your information, immediately contact the bank and put a freeze or a hold on your credit card or debit card. And that way, nobody else is going to be able to put future charges on there. Again, some people contact the credit report companies and let them know as well, because you don't want once your credit is damaged or entered into credit reports, it's tough to get a change.
Yeah.
So it's always better to say my card was stolen. You know, if it's used from this date forward, it's not me. So at least they have a heads up, and they don't look at it as you're overdrawing or not paying on charges that you're not aware of, things like that. Debit cards, I personally don't recommend using those. If you have a choice between a debit card and a credit card.
I was going to ask you about
that. I always use a credit card.
Yeah.
I don't want people to have information to my
bank. Most people are having paychecks deposited into bank accounts. And the bank accounts sometimes, for some people, the lucky people, have very large bank accounts that have debit cards attached to them. So if you are using a debit card most frequently, especially if you're doing online purchasing through a lot of different vendors, don't use debit cards, because if that gets hacked, they have access to a lot of cash, or yes, however much cash you have in there. At least with a credit card, there's a cap on there. It's not your personal money that you make each week from, you know, your paycheck. And the banks are very good at doing their own investigations as well. If you contact the bank, even with a debit card, but especially a credit card, they have their own unit there that will investigate theft and identity theft. So, you know, put a hold on your card, tell them that you believe you've been hacked. The bank or credit card company will start an investigation of their own. In most cases, they will refund your money to you. But if they investigate and find that, you know, you put in a fraudulent claim, then they will come after that money. As long as they can authenticate that, you know, you were hacked, they'll, you know, most of the times reimburse the money.
That's good to know. Okay, we're headed towards a break. Today with us talking about the terrifying topic of identity theft in a digital age is Mark Kies, Public Information Officer with the Pennsylvania State Police. Pat, would you like to review a listing, please?
Yes. We have a wonderful farmhouse with 2 acres of land at 20 Pond Road in Moscow for $240,000. This traditional farmhouse has been restored and cared for with attention to detail. It has 3 bedrooms, 2 baths, a fireplace, and beautiful hardwood floors throughout this home. This beauty has a covered front porch. It's got 2 barns. It's got a horse training ring. It's got a meadow. This beautiful meadow in the back that runs down to a stream is really beautiful. And it also has low taxes.
That's a restored farmhouse with 3 bedrooms, 2 baths, 2 acres, and 2 barns at 20 Pond Road in Moscow for only $240,000. And that's listed by Aaron Pierce of our office.
Stay with the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21, Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker.
Mom, can I please go down the street to say goodbye to Bobby before he moves?
Son, I can't even get up these steps. I need to sell this house.
Hon, I know things are tight, but I think we need a bigger house.
Does this sound familiar? Life constantly changes, and so can your living situation. The home that was the perfect fit for you years ago just doesn't work anymore. The award-winning professionals at Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate have helped many people just like you throughout northeastern Pennsylvania for almost a half century. With their extensive knowledge of the market and how to sell and buy a home, the dedicated team of realtors at Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate have successfully assisted and guided people into a new chapter in their lives. Let us help you. Visit jruddy.com. That's JRUDDY.com. Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
We're back with more Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker, and with my husband, fellow realtor, Pat Devaney.
And we're back. This is good stuff. This is very good information to get out there.
I have been working on this topic for how long?
Oh, we try to get people from the district, not the district attorney.
Attorney General's office. Attorneys that specialize in identity theft. And then we found Mark Kies, Public Information Officer with the Pennsylvania State Police, and we really appreciate your time here today because this is a fascinating topic and you're shedding a lot of light on it for us and the listeners, I'm sure. We were talking about in the first half of the show how identity theft often occurs, and Pat, you wanted to bring up a couple topics.
Yes, you touched on the phishing link, and the phishing is an email that comes from somebody who pretends to be another bank. Like, I got a phishing email from Bank of America telling me that I had to update my credit card or my banking information. I don't have an account with them. So I knew what it was. And just for giggles, I clicked on the link, and it wanted all of my, it wanted my birthday, it wanted my social security number, it wanted all kinds of account numbers, it wanted everything. And it looked real. It looked.
Absolutely, yeah. The websites that they use and the emails that they send out look almost identical to the authentic websites. And, you know, they could wreak a lot of havoc on your finances if someone gets your information. So, again, when you get emails like that, you should never fill out any forms directly through an email. If you get a good email through a financial institution or a bank, they're going to want you to go to their website and sign in under your account, and they'll do any kind of work there that needs to be done. Oftentimes, a bank will send an email saying that there's an alert in your
yes,
account.
Yes, exactly.
So
that's what
go
it was.
To the website, sign in, and then go under the alert under their website. But if you get a website or if you get an email that does not ask you to go to their website and sign in, never fill it out just through the email.
Well, I often look. I don't click on the link. You're a lot more courageous than I am. I often go up to
the
sender.
Well, it was on your computer, so I didn't care.
Okay, all right. Well, thank you very much. But no, I usually go up to see who the sender was, and it's usually a Hotmail account or it's not usually from Bank of America, Chase. It doesn't have, so usually I don't have to look any further. But that's great advice because I didn't realize, yes, they'll point you back to their website. You log in with your login information and then you do what you need to do.
Well, yeah. What they do is they try to create a sense of fear in you, mm-hmm. saying your account has been compromised.
Right.
Urgently do this.
Yes.
And not everybody is as savvy as you. And going, look, can you imagine if my mother got an email like that?
Yeah.
The big one is the IRS. There's a lot of emails that go out to people saying that you failed to do something. If you don't sign in and, verify this information, you're forced or you're going to be
arrested,
assessed, fees or arrested. So
panic.
Yeah.
They want fear. They want to create some fear and some urgency, and then people make mistakes.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it's quite effective for some people. So you have to be careful. If you're not sure, call that institution, call them by phone. There are some more current issues going on. There's something called eBay Auto, where you can buy cars through eBay. And I happened to come across one of these scams just by accident, looking at cars myself, just wanted some information. And then looking at their site and speaking to the person, I knew that it was definitely not an actual person selling a car. There were just too many good things. It was a fantastic deal.
Of course, too
good a deal.
Of course it is.
So when you start asking questions, and then they were, telling me, well, we have this stored in a storage bin or storage facility through eBay. It was supposed to go out to somebody else, but they canceled the last minute. So it's all packaged, ready to go. So I called eBay and I said, can you give me the info on this? And I gave them the item number and everything. The email looked identical, or their promotion looked identical to what eBay's website looked like, and had an item number and everything. So I called. And the first thing I asked was, do you guys actually store vehicles or boats? It could be a boat. And they said, no, we don't do that. And they then confirmed that the item number was not one of their numbers. And the big red flag that went off, and if anybody asks anybody to do this for any kind of reason, it doesn't matter what it is, companies will say, we need you to go out and get gift cards, and in amount of, like, say, $200, we need you to get 6 gift cards and send those to this address. That is absolutely 100% a scam. No legitimate company will ask you to go get gift cards and send in for any item.
Now, this address doesn't take you to them, though. I'm often very curious as to why. Is it a post office box?
A lot of times it's a post office box.
And you can't track down this criminal?
Sometimes they're not even in the same country. They're asking you to send money to a particular address. But again, it could be an address that is at a vacant house, let's say, and they'll set up an account for that so it gets shipped there. And, they'll sit and watch the mailbox. If somebody delivers something, they'll go and scoop it out of the mailbox. But unfortunately, that's the difficult part about any kind of identity theft through the computers. They're very, very hard to even identify who the person on the other side is.
So most of the time, you don't know who's doing this.
Yeah, a lot of people go out and buy prepaid phones and set up accounts through phones, and you can't track an IP address back to any physical location. So it's hard to find out even where they're coming from. You might be able to track it back to the cell phone or where it was purchased from, but that's often as quite as you get. They use fictitious names and addresses to sign up to get the phone, and you're basically left with a dead end.
If I'm a victim of identity theft, where do I report this? Do I go to the state police? Do I go to the local police? Who do I report it to?
You can go to the local police if you have full-time local police, or even part-time local police coverage. Report it to your local police. If state police cover your area, you could report it to them. The Attorney General's office, FBI, deals with computer crimes as well. There is the...
I didn't know who you would report it to. I didn't even know if you would report it.
First thing, go to your bank. Report it to the bank. Tell them you believe that somebody used your card without authorization. They can put a hold on it so you're not losing any more money.
And then do a credit freeze?
You could, yes, call, do a credit freeze for that particular card. Let them know. Some people don't do that. Definitely call the bank. If you want, if you're concerned about your credit getting ruined, definitely call the credit report companies. I think there's 3 major companies.
Yes.
And, that have been compromised.
Yeah. Call all 3. Let them know your card has been compromised, just in case anything moving forward gets reported. You don't want, overdrafts or just large amounts of money that is not going to be paid back showing up on your credit report. And then those companies will often ask for a police report, too. So contact the police, file a report that you're, because it's theft. It's a theft report of money. And notify the company that the abuse has been done through, because it could be, if it was done over the phone or the internet, it could be an employee on their end that's doing this. So call the company wherever you made the purchase or wherever that purchase was done from, whether it be a gas station or an online company, let them know.
Mark Kies, Public Information Officer with the State Police. Would you come back next week, please?
Absolutely.
Thank you. We're out of time. Thanks for tuning in to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Remember to tune in next Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. on 94.3 FM, The Talker.